welcome you to the service this morning today at Barbie's Grove. Maybe by now you're sort of getting used to the time change and you're not getting used to it. But anyway, it's good to be in the Lord's house today. We're glad you're visiting with us. If there's anyone in the parking lot, glad to have you. And those that might be listening later on the website, we're so glad for all of you to join us as we worship Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. After all, that's the reason we're here, to honor Him and to hear from Him. Because, you know, it's not just a one-way street. We want to worship and honor the Lord, but He likes to speak to us. And it may be a word of encouragement, a word of instruction, a word of warning, but He likes to, word of comfort, but He wants to speak to us as well. So it's good to be in the Lord's house. Maybe pray. Father, as we bow before you this morning, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your care. Thank you that you're here with us. You came with each one of us who are believers. You meet us in this place. We thank you for those that over 130 years ago established this place that we could come and we could worship. We thank you for the continuing work of the Holy Spirit all of those years. And Father, we pray that they might continue until Jesus comes. Father, we do look forward to that day when the trumpet blows and Jesus returns and we're forever with the Lord. Lord, now today as we worship you, may the Spirit of God speak. May we be able to tell you how much we love you and may we receive your love in return. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, if y'all will all stand with me today, and we're going to sing page 2, Holy, 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 be up here or down here, either one. We're going to sing all 4 verses.
Well, as you can see, I'm not Leonard. He's better looking than me. But he's gone to spend some time with a grandson that's having a birthday and also is joining a church in Ashboro. So pray for him as he travels between Sunday school and the church in Ashboro. But again, I welcome you and pray that the Lord blesses you as we worship. Remind you, Wednesday night, Bible study. We invite you to come and be a part of that. We're usually done in 45 minutes or so, depending on how much discussion we have. But we'd love to have you come and join us. Be thinking about Easter. That's not as long. It's going to be here real quick. And we'd love to have a sunrise service like usual and breakfast. And we look forward to that. I know two or three of y'all really look forward to the breakfast. And maybe look forward to the breakfast more than the sunrise service. But anyway, we'll celebrate the risen Lord and then we'll fellowship together. And so we look forward to that. Also, remember we're giving our Annie Armstrong Easter offering for home missions during this month. Our goal is $1,500 and got a good start on that this morning. And so Brother Jeff has a video I think he's going to show us.
Almost 100 years. For almost 100 years, in big cities with 100 skyscrapers and tiny towns with one stoplight, on college campuses and Native American reservations, and churches too many to count, hundreds of thousands of men and women and boys and girls have made hundreds of thousands of life-changing decisions. Almost none of them knew her name. And yet, she was there. Annie Armstrong lived more than 100 years ago. Only this one picture of her survives. History could have easily forgotten her. But Annie Armstrong is worth remembering. In the late 1800s, when most women had no voice, Annie was one of the first to speak up. First, for the urban poor in her hometown of Baltimore, and then for Southern Baptist missionaries around the world who desperately needed support. It was for these people that she helped start the National Woman's Missionary Union as its first executive leader. She gave women a platform in their local church, and in ways that they'd never done before. These women helped focus Southern Baptist attention on the hurting and the lost, and the missionaries trying to reach them. Annie wrote letters, 18,000 in just 1 year, and she traveled across America, encouraging missionaries and inspiring churches to pray, to give, and to act. She worked long hours, paid her own expenses, and refused to accept a salary. And in the darkest days of the Depression, right before she died, an offering was named after her. Today, the Annie Armstrong Easter Offering helps missionaries in the U.S. and Canada start new churches and meet needs through Compassion Ministries. Over the years, Southern Baptists have given more than $1 billion to that offering, and 100% of it, every penny, has gone straight to the mission field. There's still work left to do. The need is bigger than ever. And that's why, even though she lived more than a century ago, and even though only one picture of her survives, Annie Armstrong's influence lives on. Because today in North America, just as it's been from the beginning, anywhere a missionary is sent, every time a new church is born, anytime someone gives to her offering so that a lost person might be found, Annie is there.
you read the news or see it on TV, it's very obvious that America needs a lot of salvation. And so we pray for the missionaries. We support them. We do our part. And to win our nation to Jesus. And the Annie Armstrong offering is one of the ways that we do that. Seeing the, I just think I'll tell this. Seeing the baptism in the cattle trough, our son-in-law and daughter in Australia, somebody gave them something similar. And so he and church member, you know, go like 100 miles or 50 miles to get it, and it's full of holes. And so they had to go to the river to baptize, and there'd been a flood, and there was so much debris that they had to almost push their way into the river. So they had quite a time having a baptismal service. It's not as always as easy as it is here, just walk into the baptistry and the water's nice and it's warm, it's been heated and everything. So just think about some of the folks around the world that have some difficult situations to baptize. As we go to the Lord in prayer, we have a prayer list, and there were a couple of people mentioned during Sunday school. If y'all repeat their names again, Joyce Little. All right. Who else?
Family of Keith Wetley.
Okay.
Gary texted me a minute ago. He's on his way to Asheville. He asked to have a friend of his put on, which is in ICU. That's where he's going. It's Ronnie Shook.
Okay.
S-H-O-O-K.
Okay.
I'd like to put Jesse Herring and his group. Okay. In Honduras.
All right. All right. Anyone else?
Yeah. I talked to Ann yesterday, and she wasn't feeling as well. She's got another problem going on, and she's going to have to go to a specialist. And she wanted us to really remember her in prayer.
All right. Anyone else? Kenny? All right, well, good. Good. Anyone else?
Good morning. Thank you, everybody, for the cards. Happy birthday. I celebrated all week. Leonard thought it was a little bit out of it this morning, but he got a scratch throat, so I'm going to blame him on that. Anyway, I have an awesome report on Mark Shaver. He's the son of Ted and Trudy Shaver. He's the guy that was on a ventilator with COVID for 7 months and then in a rehab for about 5. He's been home maybe close to a year, had its intense therapy. But as of now, I talked to his mother a few days ago, thinking, you know, these walkers where you put your arms down and walk. He started out, you know, like 5, 6, 7 steps. One day he got to 50. His mom says, "Well, Mark, what you going to do tomorrow?" He says, "I'm doing 100. He did 150 steps.
Wow.
Now that's a miracle. And she wants to thank everybody for your prayers. Please continue. He's still got a ways to go. He has short-term memory, so, you know, that's a disadvantage to him. He knows his family. I just thought that was an awesome praise report.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Anyone else? Maybe pray. Father, we do thank you that we could come and we could praise you for the way you're working in lives of people all around us. We thank you that prayer does work. Lives can be changed through our prayers. And Father, we lift up all of these that have been named, those that are printed on the prayer list, those that we know about in our hearts or minds and we didn't share them verbally. Lord, you know each one. You know each need. And Father, we pray for physical, financial touches on people's lives. But Father, more than that, we pray for spiritual touches. Father, we know folks that are unsaved, folks that are backslidden, folks that aren't ready for Jesus to return. And Father, may wherever they are at this very moment, they may be at home in bed, they may be out on some trip, out doing some pleasure, maybe out in some sin. But Father, wherever they are, may the Spirit of God speak to their hearts. May they be drawn to Jesus. May they come to the place where they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to be prepared for eternity. And Father, if there's anyone that we need to personally give a witness, lay that person upon our heart. Give us the opportunity and the words to share Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
The song that I chose for our worship, our praise song, goes hand in hand with the Holy, Holy, Holy hymn that we just sang. It's a contemporary take on that hymn. And if you listen to the recording, Mac Powell recorded it as well as, I think, Third Day. Anyway, long story, you will hear Holy, 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 the hymn playing in and around the song that we're getting ready to sing. So the name of the song is God of Wonders. And there is a part that's supposed to echo. We're not going to do the echo part. And it will say, Lord of all creation. And then there's a part, and I'll just do this, and we won't sing that little part. It's in the chorus. So if you know the song, you want to sing the echo, that's fine. If not, you don't need to worry about it. All right, if you'll stand with me, we will sing the song. I'm sure you guys have all heard it before. If not, it's a great one to learn. Oh,
Children's Church. In one of the episodes of the old Andy Griffith show, somebody has decided to send out new requirements for the height and weight of law enforcement, and Barney doesn't measure up. You remember that one? And so next thing you know, Aunt B's trying to cook enough biscuits and gravy and cakes and to fatten him up. And she never does get him up to the weight. So to make the weight, Andy remembers that he has to wear his dog tags when he's weighed. And so, you know, they're going to be under his shirt. And so they put a log chain. So, you know, there's no requirement about what had to hold those dog tags up. So they used a big heavy log chain, and that made the weight. Well, you know, he's still got the height requirement. And you remember Opie opens the closet door. And it looks like Barney's hung himself. He's got some kind of thing under his chin, and he's trying to stretch out his spine enough that he can make the height. And I guess he did because, you know, he kept being deputy. But the problem was Barney didn't measure up. He didn't measure up to the requirements that were necessary to be a deputy. Well, now, in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23, it says something very important. Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, he's saying 100% of human beings don't measure up. All of us don't measure up to the glory of God. Now, God's glory is God's perfection, God's holiness, God's love. Not a one of us measure up to the glory of God. Now, there's some folks that are so evil that I'm not even sure they get to the bottom of the scale, but even the best of us, if you put the glory of God way up here somewhere, the best of us, we're down here about knee high or below, trying to measure up to the glory of God because of our sinful nature, because of what's going on in our lives, because of what we have done, because of what we have thought, because of what we have said, we don't measure up. We don't come close to achieving measuring up to the glory of God. And that's a problem. That's a big time problem in that we don't measure up. That's why the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that we find in the Bible is such good news. Now, you know, in religions all over the world, people are trying to measure up. I mean, you know, they do treks and they do go visit certain shrines and they give money and they do good deeds and they do all kinds of things and they deprive themselves trying to measure up. But no matter what anybody does, we still don't measure up. But the gospel tells us there's a solution. The good news. Now, Some of us will be talking about the NCAA basketball tournament. What happens when a player can't get the job done? The coach calls time out and sends in a substitute. Somebody to come in and get the job done. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about, you know, umpteen years ago, the New York Yankees had a first baseman that was fairly good, but one day he didn't play, and so the manager made Lou Gehrig the first baseman. And guess what? Lou played the next 2,000 and some games and didn't miss a single game. And until he came down with a lateral sclerosis, what we call Lou Gehrig's disease now, that robbed him of mobility, he didn't miss a game. You see, he was a more than capable replacement for the guy that he replaced. And God sent a substitute. God called time out, and he sent a substitute, and good news is Jesus. God knew we weren't going to measure up. It's like the devil is always one step behind God. The devil has his plans, and he thinks, I can frustrate God's plans. I can derail what God wants to do. God created a world, a perfect world. He put a man in it. And the devil says, if I can mess man up, I'm going to mess up God's plans. And so he enticed the man and the woman to sin, and they sinned. But, you know, that was no surprise to God. In the book of Revelation, in the 13th chapter, verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It says, you know, before the devil ever got it started for people to sin, God always already had a substitute. God already had a plan, and that plan was Jesus. Our falling short was no surprise to God. Our not measuring up to the glory of God was not a big shock to God. God didn't suddenly call in the council of heaven and say, oh, I created man, I put him in this beautiful garden, and he's sinned. Now what are we going to do? What's plan B? God already had that substitute to take our place because he knew we were going to fall short. Now in Romans in the 5th chapter, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. When we couldn't cut the mustard, when we couldn't get it done, Christ died for the ungodly. It doesn't say that Christ died for the good folks. It said he died for the ungodly. For those who did not measure up to the glory of God, he says in due time, in God's appointed time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that news? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the good news is there's a substitute that's perfect. There's a substitute that fits the bill. There's a substitute that takes our place. Verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. He says we're justified by his blood. Through Jesus Christ, we measure up. Through Jesus Christ, we are made perfect. Through Jesus Christ, we're made whole. Through Jesus Christ, but it's only through Jesus. The whole message of the Easter, the crucifixion and the resurrection, is this. We fell short of the glory of God, but God sent a perfect substitute to take your place and my place, to die on that cross for our sin. Now again, Satan was frustrated because the Bible says if they had known what was going to happen, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If the devil had realized what was going to happen, he'd have never inspired the Romans and the Jewish leaders to crucify Christ. He had no idea of what was about to happen, that the sins of the whole world were going to be paid for on that cross. But God had that perfect substitute prepared just for you and just for me to take our place. What a wonderful, wonderful good news that is. We couldn't do it. We couldn't measure up. But Christ died for us. He took our place as our sinless substitute. In Romans chapter 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Our sinful nature was dealt with on the cross. That when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our sinful nature is dealt with, and we have eternal life. Go with me then to 1 Corinthians 15. And I'm just mentioning a few of the verses. In verse 3, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Christ died for our sins, yours and mine. We didn't measure up to the glory of God, but God sent a substitute who took our place and died for us, for your sins and for mine. And it doesn't matter whether you think, well, I've really been a terrible sinner all my life, or whether you think I've done pretty good all my life. We're all sinners. We all don't measure up. But Jesus does measure up, and he took our place. He became our sacrifice. He is the one that satisfies God's plan for salvation. Jesus was God's substitute to measure up for you and for me. And then he goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. You know, our Christ, Jesus is our hope of eternal life. Jesus is our hope of salvation. He says he's the first fruits. In other words, he came forth first. But then we come. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That there's hope beyond this life. Because of Adam's sin, we're all going to die physically. But because of our relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're all going to live eternally. Because Jesus took our place. It's such a wonderful, wonderful thought to know that when I don't measure up, he did. And he welcomes me to accept that which he has done for me. Now you see, at that point, we have a choice. We can say, you know, I received that. We've got to first hear it, but then we can say, I know it's true. And then we can say, I receive that, or I reject it. You have the personal privilege and opportunity to say, I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I make him my Lord. I receive him as my substitute, and I know I don't measure up, but I know that Jesus does. And I receive him, and I'll go to glory because of him. Or a person can say, I don't want anything to do with Jesus, and reject him. I know about this much about what's going on in Great Britain. I know that in a few weeks there's going to be a coronation, supposedly, and Charles is going to become the official king with all the pomp and circumstance. But you know, there are already protests with people up signs, you're not my king. And what was it, in 1776, we said King George isn't our king. We decided the British king was not our king. Well, you see, the people in Great Britain and across the Commonwealth can say, Charles is our king, and they can, if not worship him, at least honor him as their king. Or they can say, he is not my king. And so it is with us. We can say, Jesus is my king, or Jesus is not my king. That's our choice. Now we have to live with the consequences. Because one day we stand before the Lord, and the Lord will say, here's my glory. You measure up or you don't measure up. And those that don't measure up will depart forever to an eternal place of suffering. Those who do measure up will measure up not because of their good deeds or their fine lifestyle, but because they are hidden in Jesus. They're hidden in Jesus. And it's so important that we make that right decision. Now I realize probably almost everybody in here that's old enough has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But how many people do you know that haven't? How many people do you know that if the trumpet blew today, they'd still be sitting at home or in a bar or a restaurant or somewhere else and not be ready to go? Now, Andy and Barney found a few creative ways to make him measure up. And he kept being a deputy. God found a way for you to measure up. And we call him Jesus. And it's only through Jesus, only through Jesus, that we measure up. God sent a substitute when we couldn't do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And it's Jesus. Make sure of your relationship with Jesus. Share Jesus with every person that you know that needs him. It's great to give our money, and we need to do that. But we need to set a godly example, and we need to have a verbal witness as opportunities have. And when I say verbal, it may be Facebook, it may be Twitter, it may be text, it may be email, it may be a card, or it may be through a spoken word. Tell folks the good news. You know, people are trying so hard. A lot of people are trying so hard to somehow get that inner satisfaction. And it's just not there. And it never will be there until Jesus is there. It never will be there. It's just interesting to see on the news the lifestyle of the rich and famous and how they're pursuing this lover and that lover and this thing and that thing and this sin and that sin. And, you know, there's a hunger there, and they don't even recognize that the only thing that will satisfy it is a personal relationship with Jesus. The only thing that is a permanent satisfaction is a personal relationship with Jesus. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment? Would you just take a few moments to thank Jesus for being your sacrifice and your substitute? Every one of us should go to hell. That's where we belong. But because Jesus took our place, we don't have to go. We can go to heaven. It's enough to make us shout. It's enough to make us excited. May we be thrilled. May we be thankful. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my substitute and taking my place. And if there's somebody here that's never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, would you do that? Would you walk down the aisle and just tell me, I want to receive Jesus right now as my Lord and Savior? And I'll meet you here and we'll talk about it. Is the Lord laying on your heart somebody that's not ready? Maybe a child, maybe an adult, maybe a teenager, maybe an older adult who's nearing the end of life. Could you go to them and say, I've got good news for you. Jesus took your place. He died on the cross that you might be forgiven and might go to heaven. Would you make a commitment right now to share Jesus with that individual? Lord Jesus, we just thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That when we did not measure up, you died for the ungodly, and that's us. That's me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we can receive you as Lord and Savior. And we can have eternal life. Lord, make us even more grateful. Make us excited about sharing. And Lord, may many be born into the kingdom of God when they hear your good news, that you didn't come to give them grief, you came to give them life and joy and peace. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord be gracious unto you, make his face to shine upon you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.